Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And this is Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome to our show. We're broadcasting live from the land down under on the BBS Radio Network.
We're so glad you can join us today.
Today, we're going to be talking about dissociative identity disorder or split personality.
A very hot topic.
Yeah, I recently saw the show by M. Night Shyamalan called Split by the same name, which was about a deranged sort of murderous
psychopath.
Right.
Had multiple personalities.
So it kind of inspired Lana and I to do a lot of discussions about multiple personality disorder, which is the former name for dissociative identity disorder. Lana being a mental health doctor and a psychotherapist, and I've certainly had a lot of exposure to people with mental health issues, working with Dr. Lana, and also in my work as an investigator in the U.S. court system. So we thought this would be a relevant topic, since we often have a lot of channelers and mediums and people who deal in spirit communication. So we thought this would be a relevant topic to really dive into this and talk about the similarities and differences in people who have dissociation, which is a type of altered state or a trance state, where people hear voices and they receive communications from otherworldly sources. So, and I recently wrote an article on dissociative identity disorder and the spiritual source of it, or at least we just some sort of alternative ideas about what this so-called mental disorder actually is and how it originates. And Lana certainly has a lot of experience in working in this area.
It's a fascinating topic. And there are the films and books that have been written about it, like Sybil as well as Split. And it's just so unusual to have so many different personalities in the one person. And the contentious issue is it a real disorder or isn't it? And, you know, psychotherapists, psychiatrists, psychologists have been confused about this for years. I know over in America they sort of believe in it, and in Australia for a long time the thought was that it actually is just made up. I actually have had a few patients with it, and it's just absolutely mind-blowing, but I'm convinced that it does exist, at least in some people. You know, it's I remember one patient that she's dead now. She's very close to my heart, a lovely lady who had lots of abuse in her life, but I actually saw multiple different personalities come out, and they were all so different. They all had different gestures. They all had different ways around them. One was a boy who was 8 years old, absolutely striking, fascinating.
It's very sad for people that have a difficult time with it, and it's difficult for their close relationships, family members, and friends who deal with people with changing personalities. And of course, the movie that I saw with called Split with M. Night Shyamalan, it was grossly exaggerated. From what I understand, people with dissociative identity disorder certainly aren't generally violent. They're not murderous. They're actually reclusive, from what I read. They don't go around generally they're just very disorganized, and certainly because of the dissociative aspect. And I thought, Lana, maybe you could talk about dissociation.
So dissociation is a state of consciousness where, I guess, feelings and thoughts and other aspects of consciousness are split off from each other. So one type of dissociation is where you actually forget who you are, you forget where you are, and, you know, and this can occur over a period of a few seconds or a few hours or sometimes even for a few days. There's such a thing as a fugue state where people can watch you wander around and actually take a train to a next city and then completely have no idea who they are and wander around like that for days. Some people have done it for months. That's a very extreme case. But another type of dissociation is where you know who you are, your thoughts are your own, but you're completely cut off from your feelings. So it comes in a variety of forms.
It's a spectrum, isn't it?
It is a spectrum.
A continuum.
With multiple personality disorder, which is now called dissociative identity disorder, to have it, according to the DSM-5 criteria, you are supposed to, all the different personalities are meant to not know about each other. And, of course, that exists on a spectrum, and those that have been in therapy actually do start to be aware of each other. But those are the criteria.
Right. And so I think the reason they changed the name, the label, multiple personality disorder to dissociative identity disorder is because the key feature of this disorder is actually dissociation, which is almost similar to hypnosis. We're both hypnotherapists. And people who go under hypnosis often experience time dissociation, where they lose track of time.
Absolutely.
So dissociation is actually where one personality, like in the movie Split, a personality comes forward, or as they said, steps into the light and takes over the body. It possesses the body, and the other original personality or the birth personality seems to disappear for a time period, and it can't remember when it comes back what occurred during that time when the other personality takes over, the alter, as they call them, alters.
Well, according to DSM-5, that would be one type of dissociation. Most dissociations obviously occur without different personalities taking over. We all dissociate from time to time.
Sure.
Perhaps when we watch a film or TV, when we forget that we're in the here and the now and we project onto something else. But those people that dissociate without actually spontaneously, without actually watching a movie or listening to the radio, things like that, that's one of the key aspects of dissociative identity disorder, and that can really interfere with their everyday functioning, especially if they do that in front of their friends in school or at work. To actually have a different personality step in, that's something quite different. But yes, it is seen as part of the dissociative identity disorder. I don't know why they chose to make dissociation the most prominent feature of it. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but I think that was their attempt to perhaps make it more acceptable to people and psychiatrists and psychologists, because a lot of people laugh at the possibility of multiple people in the same person, in the same mind, because it seems so unreal.
It's somewhat of a rare disorder, and I guess in keeping with M. Night Shyamalan's type of screenwriting, it's a psychological thriller, and certainly people get very interested in something like dissociative identity disorder because it's so unusual that it makes for a great story, obviously. And people have always been interested in multiple personality disorder, so I guess maybe they decided to change the label or the name, the title.
Maybe.
Because it was a stigma to multiple personality disorder for such a long time because of the movie Sybil and other movies like that. And maybe even Psycho was a type of, with Norman Bates, that was a type of split personality as well. I can't really remember the movie very well, but I'm sure many people do.
Quite possibly. What has been recognized is that people with dissociative identity disorder have got a very high likelihood of having childhood trauma, especially emotional abuse and especially sexual abuse. So the feeling is amongst researchers and psychologists that when really unacceptable abuse happens to a child, they dissociate from what is happening. So imagine that you're being abused by a parent or someone you trust. For a child, you can imagine what that does to their whole being. So they split off, and it's almost like they're not there, they're somewhere else. And the belief is that they almost like manufacture a different personality to deal with this trauma so that in their normal day life, they don't have to think about that. They can put all of that, into a drawer inside a different personality and forget about that so that they can actually function.
So it's a way of, maybe this disorder is a way of
coping with incredible incredible trauma, trauma defense that attacks mechanisms. The very basis of their being.
So it's almost like they're shattered.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know the movie Split, they go into that quite a bit. The psychologist, I believe, it's called Dr. Fletcher, I believe she's a psychologist, goes into talking about the disorder a bit. And she says some interesting things. She says the human brain is the most complex object in the universe. And in speaking to a conference panel in the movie, she says an individual with multiple personalities can change their body chemistry and their thoughts, which I think is really interesting.
Now, that is a fascinating, fascinating thing. I know that people with DID have other unusual phenomena, like the patient that I have. All her watches would stop on her, and the same with her father. Electrical items wouldn't work for her. But certainly in terms of other physiological parameters such as ECGs, the heart, EEGs, looking at the electrical rhythm of the brain, blood pressure, pulse rate, galvanic skin response, a lot of those physiological parameters has been found by researchers to actually differ when a person is in a different personality state. Now, that is fascinating.
That's
unbelievable. And to me, that's one of the clinches. You know, you've actually got a biological proof of the fact that this other personality has also got different biological functioning. So, you know, that's amazing. And it raises the whole, question of what are we and what is our mind?
Right.
You know, are we all the same person? We certainly, for most people, it feels like we're the same person because we have a sense of continuity. But when you think about it, though, we can have lots of different emotional states. We can even sometimes think and have different attitudes from day to day, from year to year. I know in Buddhism, one of the points made when we try to achieve the more wise, enlightened state of non-attachment to self is realizing that the self is in fact something which is sort of made up. I mean, we're not saying the self doesn't exist, but what we are saying is that the self as we see it as something which is continuous and fully integrated could very well be an illusion of our own mind. You could see that all the different moods that people have, all the different attitudes that they can have, could be different fragments that we happen to draw together. We happen to say it's all ourself. But in Buddhism, the wise masters tell us that while our true self, our stream of consciousness and our, universal self is certainly there, the self that we imagine, the day-to-day self that we so carefully protect, that we are so worried about that will age, that will, you know, we worry about when things happen to us, if we, you know, if people don't like us enough or don't respect us enough or if something else happens, we worry so much about our so-called self. But in fact, that may well be an illusion as well. And if that is so, then maybe it's certainly possible for different so-called selves to exist in the mind, because the self might actually not truly be an entity in its own right.
And that's certainly something that we discuss heavily on this show, because we're very interested in the study of consciousness. And I know many shamans talk about the soul breaking up. Like when your heart breaks, you lose a part of yourself, and or major trauma, shamans have to do soul retrieval to retrieve parts of your lost soul. So that's something we'll be talking about. We're coming up on a break. But that's certainly something we delve into on this show, and that we're very interested in, is the metaphysical aspects. And that's
so don't miss that. We'll be delving deeply into the self after this break. So this is Dr. Lana Love
and Detective David Love.
Hello, this is Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love.
With Universal Soul Love. We want to tell you about an exciting live teleconference event sponsored by Portal to Ascension.
We're going to be hosting the Paradigm Shift Conference on Tuesday, July 15th. It's an all-day event sponsored by Portal to Ascension on portaltoascension.com. You can look that up on Google.
We'll be presenting exciting techniques to empower you to overcome adversity in your everyday life and manifest your dream reality.
Our speaker lineup includes author Bruce Lipton, author Andrew Harvey. We'll have Seven Bomar speaking. We'll have Alexander Meters of Galactic Connection, Michelle Mache, host of Awakenings Radio, and Brad Axelrad.
So we hope to see you online for the Paradigm Shift Conference. It should be very exciting.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
This is Dr. Lana Love.
Broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network.
From Down Under, Australia, the land of kangaroos.
And Universal Soul Love. So today we're talking about Split, is the title of our show. And we're talking about dissociative identity disorder, the psychiatric disorder formerly known as multiple personality disorder.
Very exciting, very controversial topic. I don't know whether there are any listeners out there that have this, but we've actually met quite a few people that have had perhaps aspects of this. You know, I think a lot of this goes unnoticed.
For sure. I mean, I have to say, I've never, in my work as a private investigator, I have never seen one person who's had multiple personality disorder in my caseload. I've done 50% of my work involved criminal defense investigation, and I've worked on major cases, rape, murders, robberies. So I just want to say I have never seen anyone with that particular disorder. I've seen many other types of people with mental illness who have caused crimes, many people without mental illness who have caused crimes that are maybe sociopathic or, I'd like to just say, just have issues in general. I'm not judgmental that way, but certainly that's for the court system to work out. But just adding that in.
But that's the movies. They always have to put something like that in to make it seem more exciting.
Absolutely. But I think here we wanted to discuss, just like the article I had put out a week ago, are devious spirits responsible or the cause of dissociative identity disorder? And I think that's a bit limited because I think there may be, we are multidimensional beings and most of the issues, problems in life and situations that we encounter in life are multifactorial and multi-causal, meaning there are many causes for the issues that we in situations that we perceive in life or that we experience.
So and as we said before,
generally it doesn't come down to one particular thing, even though we'd like to simplify it that way.
And as we said before, the human brain is one of the most complex systems in existence. And in fact, it may well be like a radio transmitter for consciousness outside of the human body. So right. There's so much that we don't know.
In the movie Split, Dr. Fletcher says that she asks the question, is dissociative identity disorder the ultimate doorway to the universe? And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but Is multiple personality disorder the ultimate doorway to all things unknown, which is a pretty sensational
question. Statement, yes. Interesting one, though, really interesting.
And as she's talking to another psychiatrist, I believe, or psychologist in the movie, she says, what will happen when he, the actor James McAvoy, the main character, unlocks the potential of his brain? And Dr. Fletcher says, there's no limit to what he becomes. And of course, at the end of the movie, there's 23 personalities in this person, in the actor. But at the end, there's a 24th personality that becomes a beast, which is almost like a mutant from X-Men. It's a superhuman creature that his body physiologically changes and he has superhuman strength and seems to have some type of mystical knowledge. But of course, he's quite violent in the movie because in keeping with M. Night Shyamalan's psychological thriller style. But anyhow.
So that's most certainly a figment of imagination.
But anyhow, on Universal Soul Love, we certainly like to delve into the spiritual dimensions and the higher dimensions and talk about consciousness and the infinite possibilities of it that might be available to us. And we've had many great speakers on our show who have come on, and we've had great channelers, which I think brings up a very interesting question about multiple personalities in general and whether it's always a disorder or whether there's some benefit to having, because dissociative identity personality disorder is almost, I'm stumbling a bit in saying that, but what I'm trying to say is dissociative identity disorder a possession state, almost like a spirit possession state, where just like when people channel higher dimensional beings?
That's an interesting question. Of course, the answer to the question would be, it really would be up to the person, I guess, to really realize whether that's them or not. And of course, you know, to be able to know whether, you know, something, another altered state of you is really you, would mean that you would have to recognize who you are. And that's, of course, very difficult for people that have had trauma. However, I think it's not impossible. Certainly when people have a possession state, it's recognized that they're acting out of the ordinary. And I guess very often a possession state, if it's a negative entity, if you believe in this, and I'm open to that possibility, possession states, you know, quite often there'll be vile language, there'll be spitting, there'll be...
Oh, you're talking about a demonic possession.
Well, you're talking about different...
People on our show also channel angelic beings.
Okay. I've never heard of angels possessing you. I thought that possession state is usually demonic state. Have you ever seen a person possessed by an angel?
Exorcist. we've had Patrick McCormick on our show.
I call that channeling.
Well, is channeling similar to a possession state? We see Cartron come into Patrick, and he gives very beneficial metaphysical information.
Okay.
And he's a very funny, Patrick calls him an intergalactic, interdimensional being.
I guess I consider possession state when someone comes in and possesses you without actually asking permission.
Well,
whereas
might be
channeling,
the difference.
Channeling, I think, is where, you know, a certain other being might communicate with you, and there's almost an inferred consent to it.
Right. There's actually a book on this about channeling by James Clemo. I can't remember the name of it at the moment. Here it is. It's called Channeling, Investigations on Receiving Information from Paranormal Sources, John Clemo. And it's an excellent book. It does talk about dissociative identity disorder, spirit possessions, demonic possessions, channeling, mediumship. And it talks about it in terms of physics, research studies, psychiatric studies, psychology. So it's very interesting. And I think that's what we're trying to get at here is what are the differences and similarities in possession states, dissociation, and disorders? Because not every case of dissociative possession states are disorders.
Well, that's right. I mean, it raises the question of what is a disorder. Now, in psychiatric terms, a disorder is something that causes significant distress to an individual, interferes with their daily functioning, and may also cause distress to another person in a relationship with that individual. So, I guess a disorder is not the sort of thing that you would describe individuals who channel and who are able to, who channel, you know, great masters and who are actually able to receive great wisdom, and where other people might be able to receive great wisdom from this person channeling. That is perhaps a gift rather than a disorder.
Right. And also people who are channeling into higher dimensional beings or mediumship are doing it willingly, they're doing it voluntarily, and there's an agreement. Whereas with people who have potentially, we're suggesting that perhaps in dissociative identity disorder, where people have multiple personalities, it's possible that rather than there are actual independent personalities, sovereign beings within the same body, within the same host body, and that this is unwilling. And people with mental illness who have auditory hallucinations, is a psychiatric term, I believe, are hearing voices involuntarily, and it's causing them to, it disrupts their normal functioning. So that's the big difference, I think, isn't it?
Well, if I could just say people that have auditory hallucinations, I don't, and believe that there are other entities trying to enter them, usually there's no other personality that enters them.
Right.
Usually it's just an experience of hearing voices, and it's usually an experience which is ego dystonic. In other words, it's unpleasant to them. They can get quite frightened, but there's no other personality that enters them.
So in nature, that would be similar to mediumship.
I don't think so.
Because mediums receive spirit communications and they hear spirit voices, like people in schizophrenia might potentially.
Oh, it's hard to say.
Without a possession state taking place. I mean, we don't know, of course.
It's hard to say. I mean,
this
obviously.
Speculation and we're.
Psychiatry teaches us that this is, because of abnormal biochemicals in the brain. You have more dopamine in the neurosynapses. One of the theories is that it might stimulate the temporal lobe, which is typically the lobe which is involved in hearing, and that this is artificially created. So there's lots of different theories about it.
Right. In dissociative identity disorder, in psychiatry, they're saying that the people who are creating creating these personalities, that they may be invented and manufactured by the mind for a purpose.
Well, it would be done on an unconscious level. For example, if someone is being abused, they might invent a masculine personality unconsciously that would allow them to feel very powerful and in control. And that personality might become like a defender alter, the alter that steps in when things get rough, they're frightened, and it might take care of them. We'll discuss more about this when we're going to have to take a break now. Please stay tuned when we talk more about DID. This is Dr. Lana Love.
Detective David Love on Universal Soul Love, broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network from the land down under.
Don't go away. Hello, this is Dr. Lana Love.
Detective David Love with Universal Soul Love.
You can also hear our talk show on Dream Vision 7 Network on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Our podcast is also carried on several affiliate networks and websites, including Liberated Syndication, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitch, and many others. And you'll find our other networks by Googling Universal Soul Love.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
Dr. Lana Love.
We're broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network from Australia, and we're talking about dissociative identity disorder. Today's show is Split. Just like after the movie by M. Night Shyamalan, we're having a very exciting show talking about the metaphysical aspects of multiple personalities.
Such a fascinating topic. So we've been talking about the possibility that there are different ways of so-called multiple personality to have started off, lots of different reasons for it. Trauma can be a reason, impossibly. Other entities might be able to enter the human soul and the human mind. Who knows? There's lots of cases of spirit possession and channeling. How do we make sense of this?
I don't know that we do. I think wouldn't you say the psychiatric community has been very divided on whether dissociative identity disorder is an actual medical disorder, because they've said that often people have multiple personality disorder without the dissociation, and they may be aware of their other personalities. They may be aware that they're inventing them for a reason, and there may be psychological trauma but not a true case of dissociative identity disorder. Would you say that's true, or am I?
I really wouldn't know about that. I think that if people are inventing something and it's conscious, I don't think that's multiple personality disorder or DID. I think it's possible for people to be aware of their different personalities, but I think that's usually after years of therapy. On the other hand, you know, I have met a few people that seem to have not had so much trauma, but seem to channel or be mediums and possibly even have some connection with their past lives.
Right. And what about demonic possession, first of all? I mean, I know everyone's interested in that, and that's sort of, we talk a lot about that on Universal Soul Love. We've talked about dark forces and spirit possession, and we've gone down all sorts of paths in talking about this subject.
So once again, demonic possession is something that's not recognized in the psychiatric community or by science.
And it's certainly not recognized in the court system either. In fact, I've seen defense lawyers, or I should say I've read about them in trials of sexual abuse, where there may have been some type of quote unquote satanic activity taking place where children are being abused and they're crushing turtles and abusing animals and to create a sense of control and silence the children and force them into submission, the women. And so there's sort of rituals that take place, types of satanic ceremonial rituals. And I know that's true, but when that's brought to court, it's very easy for a defense lawyer to go in and say, this is a witch hunt, this stuff happened during the Spanish Inquisition and the witch trials, and it's absurd. And certainly people don't even want to go down that path. And so it gets thrown out because of that. So prosecutors are generally reluctant to even want to delve into it. And then they bring in psychiatrists to say these are false memories, and all sorts of things can go on in trial. And lawyers are very skilled at getting rid of cases involving anything to do with, even when people try to come in and use the insanity defense and they say that they were hearing voices and they were listening to the devil and the devil made them do it types of cases, those equally are not very successful, and people end up getting life imprisonment for murder cases when they try to use the devil made me do it excuse. So generally the court systems are very reluctant to try to bring in and try cases involving anything to do with spirituality.
Certainly. It really doesn't fit our scientific paradigm. For years, I used to think that that's primitive thinking and that third world countries are believed in that. I used to feel sorry for those people because they lived in fear and they were deluded. Their culture was deluded. Now, after years, you know, after being older and wiser and seeing various things, I'm not sure. You know, I certainly have seen things that very, very occasionally in some of my patients, you know, only about 3 or 4 times have I thought that there might have been some sort of negative spirit associated with things. But it's enough to make me believe that we might not know enough about the world around us. I remember one patient who had schizophrenia, and this is the only patient with schizophrenia I have ever met with whom I've had this feeling. But it was a very dark night. We, in the community team, we had to come out to him. He was screaming his head off. His mother wanted us to come and get him to hospital because he had a breakdown. And, of course, as things would go, there was the power went out. There was a blackout. It was very dark and stormy. We came up to his house and we heard him screaming. And when we came into the room, I actually thought that I saw his head turn around.
Oh, my goodness.
The scientific part of me immediately thought, Exorcist. That could not be true. That's rubbish. And he actually spoke in a very low demonic voice. It was really strange. I've never seen anything like it. But, you know, the fact that I saw something like that makes me wonder, is it possible that other entities, including evil entities, might actually want to enter someone's body and occupy it?
I certainly think it's possible. I know in my maybe 15 years ago, over a period of a few years, I'd seen a number of things. I've had out-of-body experiences. I've talked about them on the show before. Classic out-of-body experiences where I'd seen things. I'd seen creatures that just don't exist in physical reality, and I couldn't explain. And I actually went to my doctor and said, what are these things that I've seen? I saw a dark cloud one night, the proverbial dark cloud, and I felt this sort of quote-unquote evil presence. There was another time when I saw some multicolored, big, huge being hanging over me when I woke up from sleep. And there was another time when I saw it was sort of like a glass see-through lobster-like creatures with big teeth and large claws. And I was standing, I had been taking a nap during the day, and I came out of my body apparently, and I was standing there looking at myself lying on the couch sleeping, and these creatures were on my back, and I didn't know what to make of it. And so I went to my doctor and said, what are these things? And he didn't know either. And he went to speak to his supervisor because I thought I was going crazy, as people would. And he said he'd spoken to a supervisor and then came back and told me, no, that's perfectly normal. People often see monsters before falling asleep or waking up in this twilight state. And he said it's perfectly normal. He said it's called,
it a hypnopompic or hypnagogic experience. But once again, these experiences in psychiatric terms are thought of as being complete perceptual misperceptions or hallucinations.
Right.
There would not be any recognition that there might on some other parallel universe be these creatures that you might be feeling.
But again, for medical doctors, he just gave me the answer that you just stated, the hypnagogic images, which didn't tell me what this was. I mean, he didn't go into an explanation of how the mind produces these hallucinations or give me any detailed medical explanation or scientific explanation of the how and why of this. So it left me wondering for many years, and I certainly continued to think about those experiences and read up on it and delve into it a bit more, which we certainly do quite a bit on Universal Soul Love. And we've had a lot of guests on our show come in and try to explain what this is all about. I certainly have a lot of my own beliefs about this.
Certainly from the scientific, psychiatric perspective, things that affect people come from within. And we know now that might not be the case. You know, quantum physics teaches us that we are much more connected than we ever thought that we were, you know, and that we are connected with the universe. And it's very hard to differentiate what's inside our mind and what's outside our mind.
Sure.
The question is, though, if it's possible for a spirit to possess us, why would a disembodied spirit want to enter an occupied body?
And that's what I was just thinking. When we talk about demonic possession, I think of these creatures as being astral predators or astral parasites or parasitic entities, and they're attracted to our emotions. They're attracted to the ones that are attracted to that feed off of negative energy would be attracted to our more negative, baser emotions like grief, anger, hatred. And so if we're already sick, again, I believe that mental illness and many medical illnesses can be multi-causal, meaning mind, body, and spirit, meaning you may already have had a genetic predisposition for an illness, or you may have had a traumatic experience. So you may have had a propensity towards having a certain type of illness, maybe even depression. And so you're putting out certain types of negative vibes that attract these entities, and they actually exacerbate the condition. And it could turn into a full-blown demonic possession state like exorcist, although I think that rarely occurs, but it could be even on a more subtle level that they're feeding on your energy or your aura, and you may not even know it, and you may be getting sicker because of it, just like bacteria or viruses can get out of control and you get sicker and sicker.
Well, it is important to know that we're part of a whole universe, and certainly we get, if you like, possessed by viruses and bacteria. We often get these predatory entities entering us. It's not such a big deal. It's just the stuff of life, isn't
it? Right. And I don't think we've always known about bacteria and viruses and microbes until the invention of the microscope. So maybe we're just waiting for the invention of the spirit scope. so that we become aware of what's actually all around us. I believe that these types of parasitic entities are all around us, and we really have to put up our psychic defenses and keep our spiritual immune system healthy in order to keep them off us, maintain a high positive vibration as much as we can.
Yes. So, David, you believe that if you have a positive vibration and that maybe if you surround yourself with white light, then it might be possible to not be attacked by predatory entities.
I think it would help. It's a good defense. I'm not sure that it's going to prevent all attacks. I mean, if we're going to go into this, we could certainly go into the whole matrix level, and we could talk about this the origins of humanity and slave species, like Michael Tullinger talks about, and how we're manipulated on a grand scale.
I'm also a big believer, though, in not giving in to fear. Something inside of me believes
yes.
that if you don't believe in demons and entities, and certainly for a long time I didn't, then they actually don't exist for you.
I agree with you on the first part, Dr. Lan. I think that our being in our bodies and not being aware certainly does give us a certain amount of protection in a certain way, because we're not giving these beings, especially these higher intelligent beings, any attention. So in a sense, if you're not giving something attention, they often go away. A lot of them will go away. Maybe the lower intelligent ones will still come at you, the parasitic entities. But I think we've got more to talk about on this one.
Absolutely.
Quite a great topic.
Look, after the break, I'd also like to talk about non-demonic entities that can enter you.
You mentioned past lives. I think
yeah.
that's a great one.
So, look, stay tuned. We'd really like to delve into that after the break. So this is Dr. Lan Love.
Detective David Love with Universal Soul Love.
And we'll be back very soon after the break.
Don't go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Lada Love.
And Detective David Love with Universal Soul Love.
We want to let you know, next week we'll be broadcasting our live debut show on the BBM Network and Shooting Radio on Tuesday at 7:30 Pacific Time.
A special guest will be Dr. Edwige Bing, who we've had on the show before. She's author of the award-winning book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. Dr. Edwige will be talking about her powerful two-day intensive workshop, The Light Body Initiation, which will be taking place on June 16th and 17th at the Center for Spiritual Living in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can find more about the event by going to drwege.com.
Dr. Edwige will also be helping us launch our Super Consciousness Project, yay, by leading an ascension session process to raise the vibration of a planetary consciousness. This is a very special project for us. We really hope you can join us next week.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome back to our show. We're broadcasting live on the BBS Radio Network from Australia.
And today we're talking about DID, Dissociative Identity Disorder, and other permutations of this.
Right, multiple personalities. We just got finished talking about spirit possession in the sense of quote-unquote demonic possession.
So I wonder whether it's possible for another personality to enter a person without necessarily there being any trauma in this life, or possibly having trauma in this life, but another personality entering that's not a split off part or an unconscious manufactured personality. What do you think, David?
Right. Well, we certainly have a lot of experience in this area. I've had some past lives of my own step forward to help me in writing my books. I wrote a book called Illusion of the Body. And I wrote one called The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories many years ago, and I had a past life assist me with that.
That's right. You have an interesting relationship with Arthur Waite,
right,
who, of course, invented the tarot cards and was a very prominent metaphysician.
Which I don't talk about too much anymore, but he was very prominent in my awakening and during my time at a spiritualist church where I was learning psychic development and other techniques to do with mediumship. And Arthur would often show up and assist me in writing, and he would come through other mediums. And he also came through to my hypnotherapy instructor, David Quigley of the Alchemy Institute in California. So there's been some confirmation of Arthur's presence in my life. And you've seen him before too as well.
Yes.
We believe. I mean, this is all our belief, of course, which is...
Yes. Let me ask you a question, David. How do you know that Arthur Waite is a past life as opposed to another personality, another spirit wanting to come into you and work through you to write books, which is what he loves?
Certainly. That's just it. I believe Arthur was, while the tarot cards was certainly a big deal to the public, it was almost like his hit song, whereas he was not as recognized for his writing, which was, I think, was of greater interest to him in his in the time that he was living in England.
But the crucial question
I'm not answering the question. Okay. So it's, I guess it has to do with familiarity. It's, I don't know, because it's past lives and it's reincarnation and there's no proof, and I'm an investigator. And of course I'd prefer to have concrete evidence and facts, but the facts are not always available. Proof is not always available. It's not like you look up at the sun and you say, yes, the sun is there and I can prove that. Everyone knows it. We all agree on it. It's a consensus agreement. Things like reincarnation. Many people around the world believe in reincarnation. It's very popular. And yet there is no true proof. There are many people who have had experiences. There are many past life regressionists like myself. We've got case studies of people who are born with past life memories, and there's been ways of proving that those things occurred and that they can verify the information. And yet in my case, I don't know that I can do that. And my belief is that even though you can't prove something, it doesn't mean it's not true. So for me, with Arthur and some of my other past lives, it's just been my personal experience and my belief based on my own inner feelings about these personalities.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you mentioned that quality of familiarity. There's something about Arthur Waite, something about his the topic that he writes his books on that seems familiar to you.
And I haven't actually read – I found Arthur Waite's books very difficult to read. He uses a lot of big words, and I don't think I write that way. But it's just the way the information came to me in the stream of consciousness style. So
what do you think people should do if they have this experience? Because we've raised the issue of, you know, true DID with manufactured alters, split off parts of the self. We've raised the issue of spirit possession, and obviously demonic possession is something that we're certainly not suggesting that people accept that. I think that one should be pushed out right there, you know. But the presence of other past lives other perhaps positive entities, what do people do when they feel that presence? Should they explore it?
Well, my feeling about past lives as a past life regressionist is I don't generally do past life regressions for people, because I think if your higher self, I like to call it the higher self or the greater self or your oversoul or your inner guides, prompt you, you're going to find out about your past lives. But I think we have so much to do in this life that we need to deal with, and so many issues, that bringing up stuff from your past life isn't always useful, because there's a lot of stuff there that you probably don't want to know about. So unless you're led to do that, you'll know. And in my case, I've certainly struggled quite a bit with this. And I know about a lot of other past lives. So I'm going back to Ireland.
It sounds like something about these experiences, though, has given your life meaning and
has
allowed you to grow. That's really important for people to recognize a sense of familiarity, a sense of that this is going to be important for their overall evolution. Maybe that's where people can open up and allow something like this to evolve, as opposed to actually seeking immediate help from wherever you can if there's a sort of a very negative sense in a possession state.
It's a matter of your functioning, I think, and your comfort level and how it's working for you, whether it's a benefit to you or it's creating a dysfunction for you.
I do believe that people, even without a firm sense of self, can determine whether something is for their good or not.
Right.
Certainly with DID, dissociative identity disorder, the old multiple personality disorder, you can seek therapy and become integrated through, and it may take years, but that's really important to actually be integrated so that you become more of a sense of whole rather than fragmented.
Right. And there are many people that are skilled doctors and alternative therapists that can assist you in working this out. And I encourage you to do that and look on the internet for more information, where there's lots of great techniques in dealing with this sort of thing. So that's all for today on this topic. Great topic.
It's a very controversial but very important topic. And we'll probably be talking about this from time to time again and again in different ways, because there's so much in it. And, of course, the whole topic of the mind and consciousness is never-ending topic.
Never-ending, but we need to end now. So thank you so much for listening to Universal Soul Love on the BBS Radio Network.
It's Dr. Lana Love.
Dr. Tech Dave DeLove.
And hoping to catch you next week for Universal Soul Love.
Bye for now.